In number 6 of his first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, John Paul II stated the following, quote, "Does it not sometimes happen that the firm belief of those professing non-Christian religions, which also itself proceeds from the spirit of truth operating outside the visible confines of the mystical body, can make Christians ashamed at being often themselves so disposed to doubt concerning the truths revealed by God?" End quote. This is astounding heresy and blasphemy. John Paul II taught that the firm belief of those professing non-Christian religions proceeds from the Holy Spirit. And just in case anyone wants to raise the issue of translation, let's quote the Vatican's own translation of this passage. It states, quote, "Does it not sometimes happen that the firm belief of the followers of the non-Christian religions, a belief that is also an effect of the spirit of truth operating outside the visible confines of the mystical body, can make Christians ashamed at being often themselves so disposed to doubt concerning the truths revealed by God," end quote. As anyone can see, the heresy is obvious. John Paul II is falsely teaching that belief in non-Christian religions proceeds from the spirit of truth, when it actually proceeds from the spirit of lies, the devil. Let's now take a quick look at the Latin text, in which John Paul II's heresy and blasphemy is also clear. In the Latin text, John Paul II refers to the firma persuasio, which means firm conviction, firm persuasion, or firm belief. He also uses profitensium, a genitive present participle meaning of those professing. So he's referring to the firm belief or conviction of those professing. The object of profitensium in this passage is non Christianis religionis, that is, non-Christian religions. Thus, he's referring to the firm belief of those professing non-Christian religions. He then uses the relative pronoun quae, meaning which. Quae agrees in context with firma persuasio, as does the intensive pronoun ipsa, meaning itself. So quae et ipsa procedit means which also itself proceeds. So the firm belief of those professing non-Christian religions proceeds from whom, according to John Paul II? According to him, it proceeds a spiritu veritatis, that is, from the spirit of truth. That is total heresy and actually blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The spirit of truth cannot be the author of error, and he does not lead people to believe in a false religion, false doctrines, or a false god. All non-Christian religions are false, and their quote gods are devils, according to Psalm 95:5 and 1 Corinthians 10:20. Some might raise a feeble objection that John Paul II only referred to firm belief in aspects of non-Christian religions in which the natural law is upheld. That's of course baseless nonsense. John Paul II doesn't say that. He refers to the firm belief of those professing non-Christian religions. A firm belief in a non-Christian religion, of course, includes the person's belief about the false deity or false deities and the core doctrines of that non-Christian religion. Indeed, the firm commitment one has to a non-Christian religion flows from that person's belief in the most important claims of that religion, such as the, quote, God it worships. That person's, quote, belief in that religion is inextricably connected to the false doctrines and the idolatry of that false religion. John Paul II, the blasphemer, teaches that the Holy Spirit inspires belief in false gods and false doctrines. In this context, John Paul II also uses operante, an ablative present participle in the masculine singular form, which means operating or working. Operante agrees in context with spiritu, a masculine singular noun in the ablative case. So John Paul II directly teaches that the firm belief of those professing non-Christian religions itself proceeds from the spirit of truth, operating or working. That is clear and indefensible heresy. It's more proof that John Paul II was a manifestly heretical, non-Catholic anti-pope. We shouldn't need to quote Catholic teaching to refute his heresy. The falsity of John Paul II's claim should be apparent. However, consider that in the Second Council of Orange in 529 on Grace, it was taught that men need the illumination and inspiration of the Holy Spirit to accept the truth pertaining to eternal salvation, and therefore for a firm belief in the true faith. So firm belief in the true faith proceeds from an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John Paul II, however, taught that the Holy Spirit's inspiration is given to non-Christians in order for them to firmly believe in non-Christian religions and false gods. It's heresy and blasphemy. As Pope Leo XIII declared in his 1893 encyclical Providentissimus Deus, in regard to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, quote, "Inspiration not only is essentially incompatible with error, but excludes and rejects it as absolutely and necessarily as it is impossible that God himself, the supreme truth, can utter that which is not true. This is the ancient and unchanging faith of the Church," end quote. Also consider how specific John Paul II was in setting forth his blasphemy. As mentioned, he uses quae et ipsa, meaning which also itself. He utilizes the intensive pronoun ipsa to put his outrageous blasphemy very clearly on the record. In the same way, he doesn't just refer to some kind of positive feeling about a non-Christian religion as proceeding from the spirit of truth, which would be a horrible statement in itself, but he refers very specifically to the firm belief of those professing non-Christian religions. It's as if with diabolical malice he wanted to teach his heresy very specifically, so that those who honor him later on can be condemned for having done so. This is consistent with his modus operandi. He wanted to mock the Holy Spirit. That was his whole point. Some months ago, Antipope Francis created a stir and was rightly criticized for teaching a similar heresy in a joint statement with an imam. In the statement, Francis and the imam claimed that the diversity of religions is willed by God. Francis' statement was obviously heresy and tantamount to apostasy. He was not merely teaching that God tolerates a diversity of religions, but that God positively wills a diversity of religions, since in the same sentence, Francis referred to how God willed different sexes. Well, as we just saw, Antipope John Paul II had already taught the same kind of heresy officially in his very first encyclical. Yet countless deceived false trads think that Francis is horrible, and they are correct about that, but they think that John Paul II was a, quote, saint. This is a key aspect of the end times deception and the honor given to the image of the beast. It's also noteworthy that in the same section of his heretical encyclical Redemptor Hominis, John Paul II teaches that coming closer with representatives of non-Christian religions must be applied through activities such as prayer in common. That is false teaching and an official endorsement of mortal sin. The Church, through the true popes, forbids prayer in common with representatives of non-Christian religions. John Paul II's official teaching that there should be prayer in common with those who represent non-Christian religions is more proof that he did not profess the true faith, and therefore he cannot be considered to have been a member of the Catholic Church or a valid pope. The heresy and blasphemy John Paul II expressed against the Holy Spirit in regard to non-Christian religions was exemplified throughout his anti-papacy by his repeated mortally sinful acts, the abomination at Assisi, his many heresies and expressions of religious indifferentism, his repeated praise for false religions, etc. There are many people out there who think they are informed, traditional, or conservative Catholics, yet they consider the non-Catholic apostate John Paul II to be a saint. They are totally deceived. By considering him a saint, with even a basic knowledge of his religious indifferentism or related deeds, they become implicated in mortal sin and a rejection of the Catholic faith. This is a key aspect of the apocalyptic deception and the prophecy about the end times beast and the honor given to the image of the pagan Roman king who was wounded, that is, the Antichrist. In fact, considering who he was, it makes sense that Antipope John Paul II would choose to blaspheme the Holy Spirit in his very first encyclical. In the same encyclical, he also defined Christianity and the gospel as the amazement at man. That is, of course, Antichrist blasphemy. It's also very interesting that John Paul II uses the term Spirit of Truth in this context to refer to the Holy Spirit. We believe that was a deliberate intensification of the blasphemy on his part. The term Spirit of Truth comes from John 16, where the true Christ refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth, who will guide the apostles and his church into all truth. So it refers to the Spirit leading people to Christianity. Yet the Antichrist, the image of the end times beast, John Paul II, in his very first encyclical, makes sure to teach that the Spirit of Truth guides people to believe in non-Christianity, false religions of the devil. This is also why John Paul II, in his first homily, declared that the statement of Matthew 16:16, where St. Peter says about Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," applies to the truth about man. That is Antichrist heresy and blasphemy. Some of the deceived false trads or false conservatives who consider Antipope John Paul II to be a saint include Michael Voris and, quote, church militant,
Pope St. John Paul II,
Pope St. John Paul II,
the so-called priests of the Fraternity of St. Peter, the people at EWTN.
It's Jason Everett, author of St. John Paul the Great.
We just marked St. John Paul II's 41st anniversary of being elected pope.
Pope Francis visited the tomb of St. John Paul II today on his feast day.
Another great gift idea for you is the St. John Paul II Single Decade Rosary. And this rosary is made with large 10-millimeter wood beads, a silver-plated papal crucifix, and a centerpiece that features a profile image of our beloved St. John Paul II in prayer. And
look at this
beautiful smile. Pope St. John Paul II with his welcoming, radiant smile. If this doesn't bring a good memory back to you, what will?
Quote Catholic Answers.
Pope St. John Paul the Great had that beautiful metaphor.
Mark Goring.
Two of the great saints of our times are St. Padre Pio and St. John Paul II.
Michael Matt.
St. John Paul.
St. John Paul.
I'm not questioning his personal holiness.
Taylor Marshall.
St. John Paul II named Our Lady of Guadalupe the star of the new evangelization.
The St. Benedict Center, LifeSite News, and many others.
Brothers, sisters, friends of life. Pope St. John Paul II's first words.
St. John Paul II.
Of course, St. John Paul II.
It's a term given to these teachings of St. John Paul the Great.
These were concerns that were raised by St. John Paul II.
Despite stating some true things, all of those people are, sadly, false teachers on the road to hell. They are in the dark. They are implicated in mortal sin and a rejection of the First Commandment for venerating a notoriously wicked heretic and apostate who embraced idolatry, blasphemed the Holy Spirit, taught religious indifferentism and false ecumenism, taught universal salvation, taught that man is God, and much more. That's all documented in our material. If you hear anyone who thinks that John Paul II was a saint or good, know that that person is in the dark. But since Francis has solemnly, quote, canonized John Paul II, the only way to consistently reject John Paul II for the wicked man that he was, which one must, is also to reject Francis as a non-Catholic antipope, which he definitely is. That's why it's necessary to embrace the sedevacantist position, the true Catholic position at this time of the great apostasy. This is also why the material we produced about 15 or 20 years ago, based on extensive research, which exposes in detail the heresies of John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and the other Vatican II antipopes, is crucial. People who are unfamiliar with these facts and presentations are, in many cases, simply ignorant of what they need to know to have a foundational and proper understanding of the current situation. That situation is that Rome has lost the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist in accord with prophecy, and that the Vatican II sect is not the Catholic Church, but the prophesied end-times counter-church, the Whore of Babylon. The pagan Roman Empire beast has returned and taken possession of the Catholic Church's physical structures in direct fulfillment of apocalyptic prophecy about the return of the beast that was. This is also why so many false conservatives and false trads are shocked and in a state of wonder and amazement over what's happening in Rome. That is prophesied in the apocalypse.
Heck, what is going on?
They shall wonder because they shall see the beast, that is pagan Rome, which opposed the ancient church and then was replaced by Christian Europe and returns in the end times. The Catholic Church, the one true Church of Christ necessary for salvation, still exists in a remnant of true traditional Catholics.